Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
And all the disciples looked and they began to follow him because John was prophesying that Jesus would be God's blood sacrifice. Jesus would be God's Jehovah Jireh, God's provision for man's salvation. Hallelujah. The Hebrews look at Passover and they remember being brought out of Egyptian bondage. But you and I look at Passover as being set free from sin and Satan's darkness in our lives and being brought out of the kingdom of darkness and being brought into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We celebrate Passover not because of a lamb that was slain on an altar by a priest, but we celebrate Passover as a lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was slain upon Calvary's cross by God himself so that he would bear our sicknesses and carry our pains, the chastisement of our peace of mind and body and being would be upon him, and by his stripes we would be healed. Amen. Glory to God. And on the Passover, the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Aren't you glad that God took your sin, put it upon Jesus, and it passed from you to Jesus? Jesus took it down into the very pit of the earth, down into the belly of the earth in the region of the dam. And there he paid the price so that sin has to pass over you now. Glory to God. Folks, Satan cannot touch you. He can tempt you. He can try you, but he can't kill you. And where do we put the blood? We put the blood on our heart and on our mind, and we apply the blood. What is the blood of the Passover meal today? It's the cup and the bread of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we operate in it. So whenever we come to Passover, which happens to be in the year of 2009 on April the 9th on Thursday evening, it begins. Whenever that day comes along and you see Passover being brought forth, and all of a sudden you can stop and say, wait a minute, this is my Passover. This is the night Jesus Christ took my sin. This is the night he was beaten for me. This is the night that Jesus had the final meal and introduced the communion table and revealed that it was his body that was going to be the bread. It was going to be his blood that was going to set me free. And Jesus was going to cause my sins to pass over from me to him and set me free from sin and make me a child of God. Hallelujah. And so we rejoice. How did the Lord fulfill? Passover is fulfilled. How? In Christ's crucifixion on Calvary's cross. Amen. And then we read in the next verse here in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6, and on the 15th day, the very next day of the same month, that first month, is the feast of unleavened bread. Unto the Lord, 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Now, we understand that the feast of unleavened bread is a 7-day feast, and it begins the next day after Passover. Okay? Unleavened bread eaten over a period of time, such as over 7 days, represents a holy walk. And what God was saying to the children of Israel here was this: now that sin and death and all the bondage of the world has passed over from you to the enemy, and you are now set free from slavery, I ask you and expect of you to live a holy life before me. I expect you to live a holy, consecrated, committed life before me. And eating unleavened bread for those 7 days, the children of Israel was basically saying to God, God, I believe that you purged me from sin, you purged me from leaven, you purged me from unholiness, you purged me from all uncleanness, and Lord God, I consecrate my life now to respect and honor you and thank you for what you've done to bring me out of slavery into liberty. Amen. Now, what happened? How did the Lord fulfill the feast of unleavened bread? Well, we understand that according over here to the Gospel of Matthew, that the Lord Jesus Christ died at 3 p.m. on Passover. Remember, God's day started around 6 p.m. Twilight, right? So somebody says, well, how is it the Lord was on the cross only for the 6 hours from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m.? That's all the time he could afford to stay on the cross. He's got to fulfill these feasts. And so for them to have time to wrap his body and get him ready and to bury him on unleavened bread, he has to come down off the cross. So what did he do? He went ahead and accepted death. Did you hear me? He accepted death. He already said, you can't kill me. My life is mine to lay down and mine to pick up. He was made to be sin. He said, Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus submitted himself to the cup of God's wrath and submitted himself to death on the cross. If Jesus had not submitted to it, death could not come on him. So Jesus gave up himself. He gave his spirit. He turned himself over to God and died on the cross. And how did he fulfill unleavened bread? He was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on that first day of unleavened bread, on the 15th day of the month. We would say it like this. He was buried on the next day after Passover, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread. John 12:24, Jesus said, except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it's planted in the ground, it'll produce a great harvest. Hallelujah. Jesus was that bread sent down from heaven. Jesus was the seed that God would plant into the ground to raise up a harvest of saints, a harvest of righteous people, a harvest of people that would come forth to God. Amen? So we have now the first two feasts. The first feast, Passover, is fulfilled in the Lord's crucifixion and death. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is now fulfilled in Him being buried on that evening, the beginning of the week of unleavened bread. Now, let's go to the third feast, and it's found down here in verse 10. And here Moses speaks and says, speak unto the children of God, and saying to them, when you are come into the land which I give you, you shall reap the harvest thereof. Then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow, listen to this, on the morrow or the next day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now, we've already been showed here that there's 7 days that they're supposed to eat unleavened bread. Now, the way God set the feast up was this. He said on the day after the Sabbath. Now, you once again, the church is to a large degree, we're very ignorant of biblical instructions and terms. We think of Sabbath and we think of Sunday. But you see, if you study out when God set this thing up, Saturday was the Sabbath day. Sunday is the first day. You understand that? Sunday is the first day of the week. It's not the Sabbath according to law. Saturday is the Sabbath day. It's still accounted from Friday evening to Saturday evening is the Sabbath in Israel, even to this day. If you go over there and make a trip over there, come around 6 o'clock on Friday evening, you better not have anything planned because there's nothing running. You're in a hotel, you walk in, and you walk through the, and they've got lights in most of the hotels because they honor the Sabbath. And when you walk in, there's the little things recognize you on, they come on sensors, and a light will come on because they don't do work on the Sabbath. They've even got where you stick your hand under the sink so the water runs so you don't have to turn it on. I mean, they really get after it. Amen. And so they honor the Sabbath. But here, the Bible says that during this week of unleavened bread, the day after the Sabbath, meaning what? Since there are 7 days, there had to be a Sabbath day in there somewhere. There had to be a Saturday, didn't they? And if there had to be a Saturday, then there had to be a Sunday. And so he says, on the first day of the week of unleavened bread, which is a Sunday, you're to bring in your offering. And you're to present it to the priest on that Sunday, on that first day of the week. And that priest is to take that sheaf offering, or that grain offering, which is a representation of the spring harvest. And you're to take that offering and lift it up and wave it to God. And it'll be accepted of God. And it'll be an offering unto God of your commitment, of your salvation, of your deliverance. Listen to me. How did Jesus celebrate and fulfill first fruits? Let me let you in on a little hint. First fruits is now called, most places, Easter. What happened on what we call Easter? Jesus was raised from the dead. you study out Matthew 28, now it'll mean more to you. Because the first verse says, and when the fullness of the, and on the day of the first week, it talks about it, in the morning, when it was in it, that morning of the first day of the week, Jesus rose. Remember, they went out to the tomb the first day of the week. What day was it? A Sunday. Why does the church meet on Sunday now? That's the day Jesus was raised from the dead. Why is it across the most of the world, Sunday is now the rest day? Because it was on Sunday, Easter morning, or Sunday first fruits, that our first begotten from the dead was raised up from the dead. And Revelation says he came up with the keys of death and hell in his hands. And he came up with the crown of victory on his head. He came up as the Lord High Priest of the church, entered into the Holy of Holies, put his blood on the mercy seat of God, and sealed man's redemption forever. Hallelujah. He's the first begotten from the dead, Hebrews 1:6 says. Glory to God. Jesus was raised from the dead. He's the first fruits offering of God. And on the first fruits, they would bring in the sheave offerings, and it was a small offering. The Lord Jesus brought his offering with him. When he was raised from the dead, he emptied paradise. And you read over there in Matthew about the resurrection of Jesus, and you'll see that when he came up out of the grave, the other graves were open, and prophets and Old Testament saints went down through the city of Jerusalem, and people recognized him. Why? Jesus emptied paradise and took it with him. Paradise is no longer in the belly of the earth, folks. Paradise is in heaven. How do you know? Paul said, 2 Corinthians, I was caught up into the third heaven, up into paradise. Hallelujah. When you die, you don't go down into the earth now as a believer. You go to heaven. Glory to God. Woo! I don't know if that makes you happy or not. But all of a sudden, you know, we understand that first fruits is what we should call it. It's Easter comes from the Babylonian goddess Ishtar, I-S-T-H-A-R. And it's the goddess of fertility. And it kind of got in there through pagan rituals. It's where you get the bunny rabbit, new costumes, and Easter eggs. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't need a bunny rabbit or Easter eggs to be fertile. I need the Holy Ghost and the name of Jesus and a new life in Christ. That's what makes me fertile. That's what makes me productive. That's what brings life. It's Jesus, amen? Don't get me wrong. Easter baskets, Easter bunnies, and all that stuff, fun. Enjoy it. Praise God. But understand the true meaning is first fruits. Why is it so important to call it and understand that it's first fruits? Because Jesus is the firstborn. And then, listen to me, folks. If he's the first, there's a second and a third and a fourth. And you're in there somewhere. Hallelujah. You may be 1,100,000 whatever something. But you know what? You're in there. And you get to be a part of his resurrection. Amen. Because first fruits is not just the celebration of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. It's our celebration from the resurrection from the dead. Because Ephesians 2:6 says that God raised us up and seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Woo! Where? Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that's named, not only this age, but in the one to come. He's raised us up and we're in Christ. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia, 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.